अर्थेन्द्रियार्थाभिज्ञानम् सर्वतापनवोनिनाम् ब्रह्मशितो ज्ञानविज्ञानम् येन विशाति मुख्यताम् 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 अर्थ
रिचेस्
इन्द्रिय अर्थ For the satisfaction of the senses, abhidhyanam, constantly thinking of, sarva artha,
four kinds of
achievements,
apanavaha,
destructive,
rinam,
of human society,
brahmshitaha,
being devoid of,
jnana,
knowledge,
vijnanat,
devotional service,
yena,
by all this,
abhishati,
enters,
mukhyatam,
immovable life.
Translation and purport
by His Divine Grace, A.C.
Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada.
Sri the Prabhupada
ki jai.
For human society,
constantly thinking
of how to earn money
and apply it
for sense gratification
brings about
the destruction of
everyone's interests.
When one
becomes devoid of
knowledge and devotional
service,
he enters into
species of life
like those of trees
and stones.
Please repeat.
For
human society,
constantly
thinking of how to earn
money
and
apply it for sense
gratification
brings
about the destruction
of everyone's interests.
When one
becomes devoid of
knowledge
and
devotional service,
he
enters into species
of life
like those
of trees and
stones.
Purport.
Jnana
or knowledge
means to
understand one's
constitutional
position,
and
vijnana
refers to
practical
application of
that knowledge
in life.
In
the human form of
life,
one should come to
the position of jnana
and vijnana. But despite this great opportunity, if one does not develop knowledge and practical application of knowledge through the help of a spiritual master and the Shastras, in other words, if one misuses this opportunity, then in the next life he is sure to be born in a species of non-moving living entities. Non-moving living entities include hills, mountains, trees, plants, etc. This stage of life is called Punyatam or Mukyatam, namely, making all activities zero. Philosophers who support stopping all activities are called Shunyavadi. By nature's own way, our activities are to be gradually diverted to devotional service. But there are philosophers who, instead of purifying their activities, try to make everything zero or void of all activities. This lack of activity is represented by the trees and the hills. This is a kind of punishment inflicted by the laws of nature. If we do not properly execute our mission of life in self-realization, nature's punishment will render us inactive by putting us in the form of trees and hills. Therefore, activities directed towards sense gratification are condemned herein. One who is constantly thinking of activities to earn money and gratify the senses is following a path which is suicidal. Factually, all human society is following this path. Somewhere or other, people are determined to earn money or get money by begging, borrowing, or stealing, and applying that for sense gratification. Such a civilization is the greatest obstacle in the path of self-realization. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Omagyana dimanandasya gyananjana shlakaya chakshu omilitam jena tasmai shri gurave namaha. Nama om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Jaya Pataka Swami Itinamine. Nama om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Itinamine. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita, Gadadha, Srivas Adigo, Bhakti Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. So the instructions of Sanat Kumar are going on to Maharaj Prithu that the destruction of everyone's interest is having a society to simply earn money and apply it for sense gratification. So we can see that when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was here, of course Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is still here in so many different forms. He's here in his deity form, here in his movement, Sankirtan movement. He's present in the chanting of the holy names. When one sincerely serves him, doing Sankirtan, and the Lord can be realized. But when the Lord was present in his Leela some 500 years ago, we can see that he was very careful about associating with people who were involved with accumulating wealth. We know in the pastimes with Maharaj Prataparudra that Prataparudra Maharaj was actually one of the greatest devotees of the Lord. But because he was a king, because he was dealing with earning money, collecting money, then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wouldn't see him, wouldn't give him darshan. So of course the different devotees, they petitioned the Lord that, please, this Prataparudra Maharaj, he is very much your devotee actually. Kasinath Mishra, other devotees were petitioning the Lord on behalf of the king, but Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very steadfast. So finally, it was arranged that the son of the king came to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he was given one wrapper, like a chadar, and he took that home, and it's said that the son is just like a representative of the father. So in that sense, the Lord very expertly gave his association to the king without actually associating with him. And then, of course, we know later in the pastimes that the king, when the Rath Yatra ceremony was on, he very humbly swept the road in front of Lord Jagannath. And actually, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he noted this. So this is a tradition in Puri that the king will sweep the road in front of Lord Jagannath. So even now this tradition is going on. It's interesting, even in Birmingham there was a Rath Yatra, and the mayor came out and he swept the road, and in so many places of the world. It's interesting that one time it happened in India that the former vice president of India was asked to sweep the road in front of Jagannath. And he actually got up in front of the mic and he said, "No, India now is a secular state. We don't follow these things." In front of the whole crowd is like thousands of people. We don't follow this. We're a secular state. So my Guru Maharaj Takmaraj had to get up and say, "Well, yes, the secular state is for the people, and you're the leader of the people, so as the first person we ask you to sweep the road, and then everyone else can sweep after you." So he kind of got tricked, sort of swept for like half a second, and then... But it was a big thing in the papers that the former vice president, he refused to sweep the road in front of Lord Jagannath. So anyway, this is in India. It's very... just see how much the Krishna consciousness movement, the preaching of the Krishna consciousness movement is required right here in India. So much. So anyway, Maharaj Prataparudra, he swept the road, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very pleased with that. And some devotees, they said to the king that, "You just dress normally as a Vaishnava, just in some standard dress, and go and see the Lord." So he came, and when the Lord was resting in the gardens, he came and he spoke some verses, glorifying Krishna, glorifying the love of the gopis for Krishna, like this. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was he said, "I don't know who you are. I don't know who, I can't understand who you are, but I'm indebted to you for helping me experience these moods of love for Krishna, divine separation, Krishna consciousness moods." So he said there, "I don't know who you are." So he's saying, you know, "I don't know that you're the king," but he embraced him and gave him his mercy. So like that. In the mature world, there's basically two classes of people going on. There's the karmis and the gyanis. So the devotees, they're very careful of the karmis, who are trying to accumulate wealth. And Prabhupada described these two people as like the criminals and the crazy men. So the karmis are like the criminals, just like if you have a bank and if someone comes to try and rob the bank, take the money for themselves, then they're a criminal. They're locked up. And then if someone else walks into the bank and says, "Oh, all this money, I don't need all this money, I'm not attracted to this money, I renounce this money," everybody thinks it's like crazy or something. It's not his money. He's renouncing all this money. So the person that comes and tries to rob the bank, tries to take the money for himself, is like a karmi. He wants to enjoy the property of the Lord, the Lord's gifts, the universe. Everything that's there, they want to try and enjoy the whole thing. It's a karmi, it's a criminal. And the one who renounces it, he's crazy. It's not his to renounce. It's the jnani. So karmis and jnanis. So the proper situation is between the two, is situation of bhakti. For in the beginning, bhakti is very difficult to understand for people who are materially conditioned. Krishna says that when one is afflicted by this duality of the world, of wanting to enjoy something or wanting to push something away, these are the two things that are going on in the material world. When one is afflicted by this mentality, then it's very difficult to be steady in devotional service. Because the mind is either trying to enjoy something or trying to renounce it, trying to accept it or reject it. So bhakti is neither of those. It's not accepting the material manifestation, it's not rejecting it. It's using it in the service of the Lord. So in this example, the teller who's working at the bank, he's taking the money and he's putting it in the bank and keeping note. Then he's like the devotee. He's using the money from the bank in the proper way and he knows that he'll be looked after. He gets his salary. He doesn't have to worry. So these are the two stages, the Kami and the Jnani, enjoying and renunciation. And yesterday in the class, Srila Bhaktivedanta Purnaswami was saying a very amazing point, that this is the real process of renunciation, is not to renounce something, but to understand what is the relationship with it. So just like here we have the bank, the money in the bank. Somebody's trying to enjoy it, somebody's renouncing it, but another person knows what is their relationship to that money. I am the servant of the bank, that is the bank's money. So Prabhupada said here in this purport that by nature's own way, our activities are to be gradually diverted to devotional service. So we can see that Krishna has set up this material world in such a way that we actually naturally become devoted to devotional service. If we're thoughtful, Krishna says in Gita 2, by many, many lifetimes of thinking, what is that verse? Bhavanam jamanam mante jnanavanam prabhadite vasudeva saramiti sarvahatmasurulava. It's very rare, this great soul, that after many, many births, Bahunam Jamanam Ante, that one actually comes to the understanding that there is a God, He's manifested all this, it's all by His will, His energies, it's all going on, and my best interest is to serve Him. We saw in the verse yesterday, there's no stronger obstruction to one's self-interest than thinking other subject matters to be more pleasing than self-realization. So this is Sanat Kumar is saying on an individual level, this is destruction of our self-interest to not do devotional service, actually. Because anything else is just completely binding. And now in this verse, he takes the same point on an individual level, and he takes the same point to the societal level. For human society, constantly thinking of how to earn money and apply for sense gratification brings about the destruction of everyone's interests. Everyone's interests. So we can see more or less, sum and substance, this is more or less the situation of the Western, modern, whatever you want to call it, Adonic, if you speak Bengali. The Western modern society is that how to earn money and apply it for sense gratification. We can see there's so many problems come from this mentality. This is a very, this is like a criminal mentality. And actually, it said here the punishment is finally that one takes the position of trees and hills like that. Prabhupada says, if actually all human society is following this path, it's a path that's as suicidal. So in the second chapter of the first canto, which is a basically a synopsis of the whole Bhagavatam, and just complete nectar is there in that second chapter of the first canto. If you just read that one chapter of translations, it's like a whole light turns on in your heart, just that one chapter. So it's called Divinity and Divine Service. Very, very amazing chapter. But right there, also in that second chapter, it said that one shouldn't prescribe duties to cultivate economic development, to cultivate artha. And one who gets some artha, some economics from following prescribed duty, then they shouldn't engage that in sense gratification. So this is like diametrically opposed to what everyone's doing in the world. It's trying to engage that. So this money, this is actually, we understand, is Lakshmi. It's Lakshmi Devi. It's an expansion of the Lord. It's the Lord's potency. Actually, it's the Lord's feminine energy, Lakshmi Devi. So this is the potency of money, of wealth, is the Lord's expansion of His pleasure potency, actually. Isn't it? You can see that is described, this Ladini Shakti of the Lord. It expands. The Lord Himself, the Adi Purusha, the Supreme Masculine, He is not in any need of shelter here, there, anywhere. He is self-sufficient. But He expands for His pleasure. Ladini Shakti. He expands His feminine, the Lakshmi Devi. So this money is actually the Lord's energy. It's the Lord's expansion. And that expanding, that principle of expansion, this is the feminine energy of the Lord. So this is also something very, you know, when I was thinking about the purport of this whole chapter of Sanat Kumar and all these instructions, and one of the points that came out is that the Sanat Kumar and came out yesterday in the class also, that they're brahmacharis, these boys. Because they're boys, they're the oldest in the universe. Huh? The oldest boys in the oldest people in the universe who are boys. Almost like Krishna, isn't it? Navayovanam. What is it? Navayovanam cha. What is it? Puranam adi. What is it? Anyway, you know the verse. Brahma Samhita says he's the oldest. But he's also an eternal youth. So like that, they have that potency of very deep wisdom and knowledge, but at the same time they're very youthful. So this is something that Krishna consciousness, by necessity, by nature, it's a process of renunciation. And Prabhupada said that this, you know, the more you're engaged in sex life, the more you're implicated. And the less you are, then the less you're implicated. It's basically that simple. In one sense, very simple. So the four Kumaras, they're completely aloof from this attraction. They even didn't manifest a body capable of that. They're on such a level. So we can see that also we know when we meet devotees who are very nice brahmacharis, we see they're not attracted to this whole experience of having children and expanding family life. But one thing is that we should understand, we can see the parallel here between collecting so much wealth, Lakshmi, and expanding into family life. This is the same, the principle is the same actually. Just like Bhakti Pandramaj was saying yesterday, of seeing what is actually your relationship with Krishna, not relating to the thing itself. Just like if you relate to money and think this is my money, let me collect so much money and spend for my sense gratification, then the relationship is between you and the money. And that's okay on one level. But unfortunately, there's another level, which is that all that money belongs to God. So you are having a relationship of Purusha and Prakriti, with you being the enjoyer of that Prakriti or that money. That's okay. But there's a higher Purusha than you, and that's his money. And actually, you're his Prakriti. So you get a reaction. It's untruth. It's not proper. It's not the real situation that you are the enjoyer of that money. So in a similar way, we should see that the ultimate principle of the reason we to be celibate or to be controlled is that this is Krishna's energy. This is Krishna's energy. If I don't require to have children, then I don't require this. It's said very clearly. I apologize when Brahmacharya is here, but Prabhupada spoke about this, and I think he wants us to speak about it too. But it's said in the Bhagavatam that this system of having children, this is an attraction. The attractive force of that is to inspire people to have children. It's right there in the Bhagavatam. That's the reason for it. So, as devotees, if we can understand that this whole process of associating with a woman is to have children, and we don't require to have children, therefore we don't require to associate with woman, then it's very easy to stay brahmacharya. If we understand that that attraction is simply Krishna's arrangement, as said in the Bhagavatam, to inspire us to create more devotees, to create more people in this world, and we don't need that, we don't have an emotional need to have family life, then we don't need that. It's very simple, we can stay a brahmacharya. If we can't do that, then we get married and we follow the principles, we follow the process, and we engage that thing for what it's meant for, which is for having children. That's what it's meant for. That's why devotees are serious, they'll never engage in artificial birth control. Sorry to say, recently I heard this. Something's going on, but this must be said by somebody that this is not the process at all. I'll explain to you why. Because this whole process of having children is expansion. It's the feminine stri. It means expansion. Prabhupada explained so many times. And the expansion is children. You're expanding. You associate with a woman to expand to have children. That's the expansion of it. So if one is artificially stopping that process and then engaging in some kind of gratification and stopping that expansion, then that's very much against the Lord's plan. Actually, you'll get sinful reactions for one. But secondly, there is no process of purification that goes on. We can see those religions that just have a rule of no birth control, but they don't have purification of the man's consciousness. It doesn't work. Doesn't they complain? Oh, the Catholic, this one, that one. But the idea is, it's not by doing the act you become purified. Any more than pouring oil on a fire will put out the fire. No, but the point is, by following that process of having children, you will see, you will come to associate this whole association between man and woman is simply to have children. It's simply for expansion. That's the inspiration. It's given. It's explained in the Bhagavatam. You'll associate that whole process is just simply to have children. And I don't require to have children. Either I did it last life, or I've done it this life, or I don't need to. I've more ecstatic engagements in my brahmachari life, brahmachrini life, or my vanaprasa life, whatever. I don't need that. So you don't need it. But if one is in the household of life, everyone have to understand that process is for expansion. And ultimately, if the children are then trained as devotees, then it's a very wonderful process. I personally have heard preaching by devotees that, you know, oh, you can't control your senses, then get married. And it's just like a kind of a fall down. And then, you know, maybe some other time you'll be able to lift yourself up. Okay, in one sense, that is true. Prabhupada did say that family life is a kind of concession for someone who can't control the senses. That is one side. But the other side, there's always two sides in Krishna consciousness, at least. At least two sides. There's never only one side. But the other side is that it is not by getting married that one becomes cured from the sex attraction. It's by having children, by training them in Krishna consciousness, one sees that is actually the... you know, that is the use of that thing. That is how that is engaged. That is what Krishna arranged for it. And that is why that attraction is there. It's not about us. It's about Krishna. You know, just like Maharaj was saying yesterday, you're relating with something. And you can either like enjoy that thing or renounce that thing. But the relationship's between you and that thing. But if you understand, hang on, this is Krishna's thing. How does Krishna want me to relate to it? Does he want me to pick it up now? Does he want me to let it go now? Then the relationship, the actual sambandha, is between you and Krishna. It's not between you and that thing. That thing is just a detail, it's just a manifestation. It's just a tool that you're using to serve Krishna. That's all. So with this kind of consciousness, naturally become the most renounced, but in a very natural way. Not a very hard way. No, I don't like it. No, it's all wrong. Or, yes, I love it. I want it. Not like that. This is Kami Gyani, Bogi Chagi. So devotee means somehow or another, try to see how is this Krishna's energy. How has Krishna set up his energies to work, and how do I fit into that? How can I become a servant of his energies? By doing that, we become purified of this idea that we are the controller, we are the Purusha, and we can serve his energies, and ultimately we can serve his energy in the spiritual world as we become more and more purified. So thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Is there any comments or questions? Yes.
Came to me like a devotee can work in any field if it's skillful, or how it's proper to understand it, please.
Which quality? Do you mean
skillful?
Do you mean expert? Is that the quality?
Expert, yeah.
Expert
in any field.
Yeah? Yeah? So what's the question?
If devotee is real, we don't see that sometimes. A devotee skillful, how it works. You see, if it's true that he can come in any field and become expert,
yeah.
Technically,
yeah.
How does it work?
What field do you want to become technically expert in?
It's because he is not upon the influence of modes of nature, or how does it work? Why?
Why can a devotee become expert in any field?
Yeah. In which sense it is?
In unlimited senses, because Krishna spoke it. So you can say unlimited senses that it's true. But just one that comes to mind is that the devotees, they're not attached to a designation in a party. Maharaj was speaking about this yesterday too. So a normal kami, like, they'll say, what are you? What's your profession? Oh, I'm a builder. Okay, so you're not an engineer. No, I can't. I don't know anything about how the building's staying up. I just take the plan and I build it. That's just a simple example, but non-devotees, they have all these designations of who they are, what they are, and they get their sense of sambandha, their sense of relationship, their sense of security from that. They're a lawyer, they're a doctor, they're a cleaner, like that. So it's very difficult for them to then step out into another whole realm because of their attachment. You'll see, if you look carefully at karmis, I don't mean karmis like bad people, I mean karmis, people who are really expert in what they're doing. They're expert at one thing, they have a certain mode. You check it out, no? You'll see. And to try and do something else is very difficult. Whereas a devotee, he doesn't have that attachment. So he can go into any field that Krishna wants, and he can learn it. Just like you want to learn websites, okay, you need to learn CSS, PHP, you need to, obviously HTML. You need to see what CMS you're going to use. You need to. Now, how long does it take? You can get on the World Wide Web. The whole CSS course is about 20 web pages. You can probably sit down in one day and do it with good consciousness. No, you can. I've done it. You have to. That's what you have to do. So, devotee, if Krishna wants that, okay, you have to do a web page. Or you have to take a film. Or you have to, do flower arranging. Oh, get on the internet, look about flower arranging, do it. Expert. Oh, I mean, it's easy. But somebody else is like, he's a big builder. What, you want me to do flower arranging? Oh, no, I just bang bricks and, it's like... Therefore, a devotee, he's expert in anything. That's one sense. Of course, another sense is that, you know, lack of expertise is just false ego, generally. Because wherever you are, there's somebody else who's doing it already. Just like one Prabhupada's disciple, he has a daughter who never went to any technical college. She just went to Gurukul till, well, maybe she went a couple of years of normal school. Not sure exactly, but she didn't do any big training. She went to London, got a job as an assistant in one big advertising agency. And gradually, she was doing so well that the person she was working for became envious and started to complain to her about her to the boss. And the boss looked into it and found that actually all of the relationships that were going on, all of the work that was being done was actually due to this person, the devotee. It wasn't due to this other person. So he sacked the other person and gave her the job. Very high post in an advertising firm. Because she was so good at dealing with people. She didn't have a big false ego that, you know, oh, I know better, I've learned this at college and this at college, and oh, no, don't tell me, and all this. No, she just was able to just, you know, see, okay, this is how the things are going on, that's what's being done, and she did it, and, you know, she was very appreciated for what she did, you know. So like that also, because her devotee is free from false ego, he doesn't have all these blocks of, you know, relying on who I am, or that, no, I know this and you don't know this and all this other stuff. So therefore he's also very expert. But ultimately, you know, Krishna is the supreme of everything. So he has all the best qualities. Krishna has the best. Just go and have a look. See, he's dressed the best, isn't he? Look at everyone in the whole world and look at Krishna. He's got the best friends. Who has friends like him? You know, I mean, I could go on, you know, he's got everything, the best. So if one knows Krishna, then one knows, you know, how expertly his devotees are, you know, arranging all his pastimes. So to do something in the material world, so nothing, you know, compared to what they're doing there. So in so many ways, devotees are expert. But if you look in the nectar devotion, I'm sure there's more. But does it make sense? Not that a devotee like inherently has all knowledge of everything technical in his mind or something like that.
He just knows how to work.
He knows the principles, yeah, that's right. You know the principles on everything. I just came to mind when, I think it was Garga Muni who brought the first dictaphone to Srila Prabhupada. Oh, no, that's right, Brahmananda Prabhu. He was explaining. He brought the dictaphone and he'd spent about an hour in the shop with the guy to try and work out how this button, that button, everything. And then he brought to Prabhupada, you know, and Prabhupada just looked at, oh yeah, that's okay. Prabhupada, I can teach you. No, that's okay. And he just pulled that out. Oh yeah, push this. And straight away knew. It's just, you know. Of course, Krishna is super soul also. What is that? Savasya chaham vridi sannivisto mata smriti gyanam apohanam cha gyanam. So Krishna gives the intelligence also, you know. As one becomes more advanced, then Krishna even directly just tells, this is how this thing works, this is what to do. Okay. Anything else? Yeah. Yeah. Do you want to say that again to the mic? So the people on the
Prabhupada's palace of God in New Vrindavan, the devotees who were building it had no idea what they were doing. But they had so much enthusiasm and to please Prabhupada that Krishna gave them all that knowledge to build such a beautiful temple.
Yeah. There was one nice remembrance of by Srila Bhakti Tirtha Swami, which is on the Prabhupada Remembrance DVD series. Following Srila Prabhupada DVD series. And Maharaj said there that they had the library party, which was going all around America, distributing books into university libraries and so forth. And there was Maharaj, Satsarup Maharaj, and Bhakti Tirtha Swami, Ganeshambhu at that time, and a few different devotees. They went to see Srila Prabhupada and said, you know, we want some detail, you know, this is what the the lecturers are saying this, the professors are saying this, what should we say? They had all these detailed things written down, a whole page of things. And Prabhupada heard all the questions and then said, just chant Hare Krishna very sincerely, just rely on Krishna, and Krishna will give you the intelligence of what to do. And that was, so they were shocked, you know, they thought, had like a page of questions, they thought, oh, Prabhupada's going to answer all these questions. So this is the ultimate, no, expert, is to, whatever situation we're in, to rely on Krishna, then everything is perfect. Everything is perfect. We don't act out of false ego. We don't act on any false designation. We don't act out of pride. If we simply just try to, you know, take shelter of Krishna and his instructions, and take shelter of Krishna, then everything's perfect. Everything goes perfectly. Yes. Yes. Is there a question?
No, it's a comment.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So there was one book distributor who was distributing books at the airport, and he was distributing for many, many hours, and someone was observing him for all this time. So the guy came up to him and told him that, I've been observing you for so many hours, you are such an expert salesman. I have never seen such expertise. So like, I want you to join my company and I'll pay you any amount you want. You just name it. So the devotee said, okay, I will think about it. Just give me your card. So the devotee made like a list of all of Prabhupada's books and sold like the books to him like every month. He sold all the books to him. And at the end of his, at the end of the list, he said, I'm not interested. So the guy was feeling, well, he just tricked me to give me all these books.
Question? Who at the back has a question? Yeah. There's also that. Yeah, that's quite common. Maybe another devotee heard say that. And he just said to the man, look, it's Krishna's inspiration. If I wasn't doing it for Krishna, then I couldn't sell some, you know, mundane thing.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Devotees should pay obeisances to spiritual master 3 times a day. I'm interested about the principle behind it and how a devotee can apply it in his life.
And how the devotee can apply it in his life?
Yes.
Yeah.
What's the significance?
The very deep significance of that. And especially that, if we understand the sense of Purusha and Prakriti, these are the two things. And Krishna is the supreme Purusha. Govindamadi Purusha, Tamaham Bhajami. That Krishna is the shelter. And we're the Prakriti, we're meant to take shelter. We're his energy. We don't have any shelter. Tatastha Shakti. We have to take shelter of Krishna or Krishna's energy. That's all. So the disease we have in this world is that we take on the position of Purusha. Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita. Purusha prakritisto hi bhunkte prakriti janganam karanam guna sangosya sad asadhyone janmasu. That this living entity takes the position of Purusha. Purusha prakritisto hi bhunkte prakriti janganam karanam. And he suffers due to association with the modes. So he's talking about us, although he's the Purusha. So in one place, Srila Prabhupada explains about this Purusha and Prakriti that Krishna consciousness is just this. Simply just this, he says. To understand you are not Purusha, you are Prakriti. Srila Prabhupada explained. And Srila Prabhupada also explained that people who don't have training in spiritual life, they don't understand this. The concept never enters their mind of the difference between Purusha and Prakriti. And we can see that people who aren't trained, they naturally try and take the position of Purusha. And even when in our beginning stages of devotional service also, we're always looking, how can we enjoy? How will we enjoy? How will we become the one? Purusha means the one. Eko bahunam yo vidadati gaman. And the Prakriti is many. So we don't want to be the many, we want to be the one. And the Purusha is the enjoyer. And the Prakriti is enjoyed. Of course, enjoyed means it's a very blissful situation, just like a child is on the stage in the play, in the drama, and the parents come to watch the drama. They're enjoying. The parents are the Purusha, they're enjoying their Prakriti. But the Prakriti is also enjoying, isn't it? Every child wants that their parent, hey daddy, watch this, look what I've did, look what I've done. So it's a very natural, nice position to be enjoyed by Krishna or by Krishna's representative. It's not unnatural, it's not bad. It's very nice. So this is our disease, that we are always taking the position of the controller, the enjoyer, the Purusha. And this is conditioned life, summer substance. That's what it is. We're trying to be the Purusha. So by if we try to just surrender to God, you know, in our minds, then it's very, very difficult while we're conditioned. It's very difficult because how do we know? How do we practically exhibit that surrender? There's many philosophies where people just say, you know, yes, I'm a pure devotee of God, I know I'm the Lord's servant, so let's go out and party, you know. But we know, you know, that God is enjoying our activities. But how do you know? So that's where the Guru comes in, is that the Guru is manifested externally. And the Guru takes that position of representing the Purusha. Prabhupada also said in one place, the king is representative of Purusha. The Guru takes the position of representing Krishna so that we can then take the position of Prakriti. So, if the Guru is a little bit advanced even, then it works very nicely. Even if the disciple is more advanced than the Guru, what's the harm? The point is opportunity is being given for us to take the position of Prakriti, of servant, of another personality. Ultimately, Krishna is that personality. So as long as the Guru is just simply following, speaking what Krishna said, is not deviating, is not taking that our obeisances for a wrong reason and giving some nonsense instruction or just taking some money, just to give some nonsense instruction, as long as that Guru is properly situated, the importance is for us to give that, to have that opportunity to practically live, to practically act that position of subordinate, of the feminine position, basically, Prakriti, to the supreme male, the shelter. That's what the Guru gives us. So without that, how do we get that without Guru? How do we get that experience? It's just like a theoretical. So that's why the Guru, one reason.
How can we practically apply it?
Practically apply what?
In our life. This offering, it is said three times a day, a disciple should offer a
basis. Dayam, stavam, statya, yasyas, trisandhyam.
Yes.
That's what you're referring to?
Yes.
Prabhupada also said that's minimum. That's like three times a day. But also, that's also related to the Gayatri Mantra. We chant Gayatri Mantra three times a day, morning, noon, and night. At those changes of the day, it's important to remember Krishna. But at least three times a day. But of course, you know, just like Prabhupada sometimes would drive down this road, and he would come into ISKCON, and some of his godbrothers would sometime, one or two godbrothers would criticize, why you didn't stop at Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj mat? And have darshan, be with him. And Prabhupada said, they are thinking that they don't understand, it's that I'm always with him. Not that he has to drive him there to be, he's always with him. Went to America, he's with him. So that, not just three times a day, but there's like a minimum, like a starting point. But how to practically apply, one nice way to practically apply it is to think, what would I be doing now if Guru Maharaj was sitting next to me? Yeah? Does that answer? Okay. Anything else? Chai. Granthaha Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Thank you.